generic streaming service and chill. Myself and FlickeringMyth.com's Luke Owen on the phone with us. You're right there, Luke.
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Yeah, very well, apart from being very wet. It's horrible where I am right now, and I hear in sunny London town, it's not really sunny.
It is miserable at the moment. I'm actually currently standing outside in the rain.
Oh, it's horrible. It's really bad. I'm sorry, mate. We'll be quick. We'll be as fast as possible. Let's go through the big movie news this week. Of course, last night, Shonda Thursday in America. It's a Thursday night, obviously, which is TGIT. If you're on Twitter, that's your Grey's Anatomy, your Scandals and all that kind of stuff. Scandal, one of my favourite shows. And last night, they were flashing off a little bit more Star Wars footage.
Absolutely. I mean, it just seems to be that whenever we get around to doing this movie news now, we're always opening with, there's been a bit more Star Wars footage.
I'll tell you what, when it gets to January, it's going to be rate dull, isn't it? Because we know it's so great.
Oh, no, but that's when we'll get Batman v Superman after that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, and Captain America Civil War. So there's plenty of us to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We could cover something.
We'll never run out of topics.
But yeah, new footage last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Some more new Star Wars footage. So, yeah, obviously, ABC is a Disney-owned station, so they were always going to try and do some good promotion for their own products. But, yeah, it's surprising because the TV spot we got earlier in the week was just a collection of footage we've already seen. So I think we were all sort of expecting these TV spots to be sorts of versions of the trailers we'd previously seen. But surprise, surprise, more new footage.
Yeah,
and not only that, but like dialogue footage as well between between the characters, some more stuff with Han Solo, just some really really interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, I was actually quite shocked there was a little bit of extra dialogue in there. To be honest, I didn't think we were going to see too much new footage. Really, it just maybe a few expanded scenes on what we'd already had, but I was quite surprised at that, and some pretty telling things as well. And now JJ's been talking about Maz Kanata and how Maz has been pretty much in our face all the time. Of course, on the poster right now, that's Lupita Nyong'o's character in the movie. Andy Serkis has been revealing a few things. He said this was the first time, didn't he, that he'd gone into a movie not really knowing what his character was going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was actually a bit of concept art that was leaked online earlier this week that was perhaps the design for Supreme Leader Snoke, which is Andy Serkis's character. But even actually the website that leaked the image did say that this could be very early concept art. We shouldn't take this as read as this is what the concept art will look like. And if it was possible, spoiler warning, he looks like a snake, like a walking, talking snake with arms. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Now, one thing that I wanted to ask you is, do you think we need to see any more footage?
No.
Do you think after the third trailer that we had, we probably didn't need to see anything else. And even now, we'll just kind of get these glimpses. I'm not sure. I mean, I just wanted to see what you thought.
Honestly, no, because I think I just want to see the movie now. I'm ready. I'm amped up for it. I don't want it to be spoiled too much. There's always that chance, isn't there? I mean, we can always refer back. I know when I was on Good Morning Yorkshire, of course, in for Darren Harper, we spoke about Terminator Genesis, and the trailer for that just ruined the movie because it ruined the twist. So you don't want anything to come out. You don't want any major expose to turn up with this film, with The Force Awakens. So I don't want to see any more. As Homer Simpson once said, stop the madness, start the movie.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that they've done very well with keeping secrets from us. We don't know much about plot details. We don't know much about these characters. We still don't know what Luke Skywalker's role is within the movie. I mean, we did the Flickering Myth movie show went up last weekend, and we were in studio. We were talking about like our favourite shots from the trailer. And the entire show, I was watching it back, is just us speculating about the plot. And it's amazing to think that we're like, you know, just over a month away, and we're still so clueless as to what this film is about. But you're right that there's always that worry with each new TV spot, with each new bit of new footage coming out. There's always that chance they could reveal something they don't want us to know.
I think it's really cool
that's
as well.
Boring for me.
I think it's really cool that they're actually hiding this a little bit now, because they're not putting it up for the award season, are they? Because they don't want anything to leak.
Absolutely, yeah. And they've done such an amazing job. And as I said, when I was at the Disney's preview slate, and they were showing stuff for movies like Alice in Wonderland and The Jungle Book. They did new Alice in Wonderland, not the old one. The Jungle Book and Captain America and Doctor Strange. They didn't show anything for Star Wars. They're keeping this so under lock and key. It's absolutely incredible.
It really is, and they're doing so, so well doing it, because it must be so easy for something to leak. But I think the fandom with this, and obviously the people who work on it, must be fans somewhere. They're thinking that we don't want to let anything go with this movie. We want everybody to enjoy it as it is and just to see it. I'm really excited for it because it's, four and a bit weeks away. I don't want to see any more. I am hoping that that is it. That is the last trailer. Let's see some repeats of the other ones on TV, in the cinema, whatever. But that's it. Let's leave it there and then ramp up over these next few weeks to the
film. Absolutely, yeah. It's been a very news-heavy week for Star Wars. Yeah, we over at Flickr and Myth, we do the week in Star Wars, which is like a wrap-up news piece. And I was writing it today, and I suddenly realized how many words I was writing because there's been so much news. There's been so many images that have come online, and the Entertainment Weekly covers, and the new IMAX poster, and some new banner posters, some new merchandise stuff, new comic books. And you're like, this is a Star Wars crazy week. And I can only imagine that the week in Star Wars is going to be quite a hefty addition. Coming up in the coming weeks.
It really is. It's going to be a big one over the next few weeks, without a doubt. And I just can't wait for it. It's going to be amazing. But from one of our favourite movies there, Star Wars, obviously everybody loves it, and me and my mates are getting excited about it. We're saying we're going to see it multiple times. To one of my all-time favourite movies, and I know you love it as well, Ghostbusters, the re-imaging coming out next year. And the log line has been released, hasn't it? Which, of course, I saw on your site as well, flickeringmyth.com. Checking that out. And it seems a slight departure from what the original movie was, so a little bit different, but I'm hoping it might have just given me a bit of hope that this movie might turn out all right.
I don't know. I'm still going to err on the side of caution. I think you and I have discussed this quite a bit. Ghostbusters is my favourite movie of all time. I think it is the greatest movie ever made. It's weird. It's hard to kind of be very diplomatic about the movie because I have very personal feelings towards it. I don't like to see my favourite movies getting remade, especially not Ghostbusters, but when Paul Feig kept saying that he couldn't think of a way to do a Ghostbusters 3, so he pitched them doing a reboot of the series, and that's what they've gone with. And you read the logline, and it is about two paranormal investigators, friends, who, with another one of their friends, team up to find ghosts, and then their black friend joins them, and then they save New York City. And you think, that's just the plot line to the original movie, more or less. Like, you know, it changed a couple of elements there, but it is the same film. And it worries me that it's this sort of very lazy filmmaking that rather than try and think of a new idea within the Ghostbusters universe, you're basically just going back to square one and saying, let's just do the first film again. But this time we've done it with women and with Chris Hemsworth as a receptionist. And I don't know, I just think it screams laziness to me. So I am worried. You know, I'll wait to see when the trailer comes out. We're apparently getting a trailer before the end of the year. So I'll wait and see then. But, you know, I'm erring on the side of caution.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I had a bit of hope, but then I am a little bit concerned as well because it's my favourite movie too, and I love it to bits, but I'm just hoping it's going to turn out all right and Paul Feig's going to do a half-decent job with it and everybody else is going to be absolutely fine and it's going to turn out okay. The original cast are in it, so it'd be nice to see them on the screen, but yeah, there's a little bit of caution. But have you seen the Lego set, by the way, before we just...
I won that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got the Ecto-1 that they released earlier this year.
It was last year, yeah.
And I got that, like, day one. As soon as the orders went out, I was there online trying to get hold of one. And I cannot wait for the Firehouse one. It's a monstrous piece, isn't it? I think they said it's something over 4,000 pieces.
Yeah, $300 it is.
$349. Yeah. I sent my girlfriend a message yesterday to say, like, it's only $349.
By the way, we're buying this.
I know we've just put a deposit down for a house. We've got a mortgage to repay, but it's Ghostbusters Lego. Come on.
Mortgage. Yeah, I want that as well. I'm not going to lie to you there. It's going to be amazing.
It looks really, really cool. Very intricate. I was looking at the images. They were like super close-up images. And I was loving all the detail in there. Like, even though they've got a pool table, which has got a toaster on there. From Ghostbusters 2. What an amazing bit of, like, you know, of intricate detail. I love it.
$3.9 so cool.
It seems like nothing to me. I can't wait to buy it.
Yeah, it's going to be bought. There's no doubt about that. It looks amazing. Moving on to a little bit of TV news right now. Obviously, Supergirl, we spoke about this recently as well. I've not really caught up with it, but I know the ratings are falling, which is pretty much what we predicted, really. And hopefully it'll survive. I know there's a lot of talk about the new episodes coming up, and I'm hoping it's going to do well and not be a one-season wonder, really. But talking of superhero TV shows, the big one, of course, has been Arrow and The Flash. They're doing quite well, this series. And the crossover synopsis has just been released today. The Flaro crossover happening again.
It's going to become a Thanksgiving tradition. We had the crossover episodes last year. And what I think is interesting was that the crossover episodes they did last year were very separate to each other. You could watch the Arrow episode that had the Flash cameos in there, and then not watch the Flash ones, and it wouldn't be any different. And vice versa, you could watch Flash, and you wouldn't bother you. But this year, you've got to watch both of them. If you want to get the full story, you've got to get both of them. They said that the majority of the Flash's episode is taking place within Arrow's, Arrow City, and all of the Arrow episodes taking place in Flash's city, in Central City. So you've really got to keep your eyes open and watch both episodes to get the full story, to get these villains that are crossing over into both episodes. So it's going to be really interesting. I really liked the crossover they did last year.
Yeah, me too.
Doing a fight between Arrow and the Flash is difficult enough, but I thought they actually did a very, very good job of it.
Yeah, I thought it worked out well. Yeah,
I thought it worked out really, really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I do like these crossover episodes. I think it's really good. It's actually one of the disappointing things about Supergirl is that they've said that they're not crossing over into Arrow or the Flash. But I think it's a bit of a shame, because I'd like to have seen those universes collide. But I think this is going to be good fun. I think it's going to be really good fun. And like that, but it's going to act as a springboard off for the Legends of Tomorrow series.
Yes.
So we've got Hawkman and Hawkgirl in there as well, which is, it's going to be a very superhero-heavy couple of episodes. I can't wait.
Yeah, talking about that, actually, on TV Yorkshire's show that me and Darren Harper do, Our Geek Out, we were mentioning that and saying that they didn't really think about the character names there, Hawkgirl and Hawkman. They possibly could have thought of something a little bit different. But just one more story about TV, actually. We're just thinking about it. There's something I've seen on your site as well, Snowpiercer, which I thought was really good, heading to a small screen.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got this a bit of a trend at the moment of taking movies and turning them into TV series. We've seen it with Fargo, we've seen it with Hannibal, we've seen it with Bates Motel, loads of these Scream. All of these series have started to become, these films are starting to become TV series. And Snowpiercer is the next one from that. And that's a really interesting concept, actually, to turn into a TV series. That's going to be quite interesting. We'll see how it develops, because there's obviously a lot of these things that they announced and never move forward with. But I think as a concept, that really could work.
Yeah, me too. I think I'd be quite decent, actually. I really like the film, so I'm looking forward to seeing if they can make it work on TV. If they do make it work, I think it'd be absolutely fantastic.
Because there are some of them that do work. Where we've had your Bates Motel, which has done very well. Obviously, yeah. Hannibal's just been cancelled, which is really sad news. Scream's been a bit hit and miss from what I've been told. But, like the Limitless TV series has absolutely died a death. It was the TV series was based off the Bradley Cooper movie.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've not seen that, but I've also not seen Minority Report yet either.
No, and I don't think that's doing particularly well either. And I think it sort of like stands, it really does say a lot where you and I are very big on our geek culture and we're watching a lot of TV and we've not seen them yet.
Yeah.
And we've not heard a lot about them. I think that kind of sort of says a lot about these shows. So there is, a lot of these, it seems like a great idea, but a lot of them seem to be dying a death.
Yeah, it seems that they are going that way. Maybe it's a little bit of oversaturation, I'm not sure, or they're just kind of throwing ideas at the wall that aren't really working right now. It's a bit of a shame, really. So, obviously, we've covered a bit of TV there. We've gone on from that. We've covered some movies. Let's have a little look what's going on with streaming services. Obviously, Christmas is around the corner, somebody's told me. There's Christmas movies popping up. Now, let's cover those. Obviously, you've mentioned one which I know you really like. The Babadook's on there at the moment. Not a Christmas movie per se, but let's just talk about this, because I know it's a movie that you really like.
I absolutely loved it. It was on at Fright Fest last year, which is where I first saw it at press screenings before Fright Fest, and I absolutely loved it. It's a really, really very visceral horror movie. It is Friday the 13th. I mean, I would always recommend watching a Friday the 13th movie, but if you are thinking of watching a horror film tonight, cannot recommend The Babadook enough. It's an Australian horror movie about a young single mother whose husband has passed away. She passed away while she was giving birth, so she kind of resents her son for causing his death. And the two of them together are they're struggling to sleep, and all of a sudden they find this book called The Babadook, and it allows a creature, this Babadook, to enter into their house. And what I loved about the film is that it really does blur the lines about what's reality and what's not, as to whether the Babadook is real or whether it's just a creation of their joint psychosis because neither of them are sleeping and they're both traumatized because it's the anniversary of their father and husband's deaths respectively. So it's a really, really great, great horror movie. I absolutely loved it. And that's on Netflix UK at the moment. I think that's just gone up. So that's a high recommendation from me.
That's one thing I've not seen yet. I've been meaning to watch it and not had the chance. I'm going to check that out this weekend, without a doubt, The Babadook. I hear so many people talk about it and hear so many people talk about it in glowing terms. I really do need to check this out. Now, when it comes to Christmas movies that are on TV and on streaming services like Netflix and Amazon Prime, there's a load out there, and lots of people have been talking about it. My Facebook and Twitter feeds have been rammed with it. Like, oh, I need to get to the mood now. I need to watch a Christmas movie. Which one should I go for? And everyone's like, oh, Elf, Miracle on 34th Street. There's a few on there at the moment, aren't there? Of course, there's the perennial favourite that everybody went for, Home Alone.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, some people might think it's a bit too early to be getting started on Christmas movies, being that it was the 13th of November, but get around it. It's Christmas movies. Not only that, it's Home Alone, which is an amazing film.
I hate it.
Oh, really?
Hate it.
Oh, I love Home Alone. I loved it as a kid, and I love it even more now I'm 30. I think it's an absolutely tremendous movie. What do you hate about it?
I just don't like it. That's simple as that. Just don't like it.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm a big Home Alone fan. Not so much the sequels, but the first one, the original.
The original.
I love the original. I think it's great.
And what about the other one that we were talking about before? Jingle All the Way. That's Arnie, isn't it?
It is. It's the Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas classic. If you're looking for, and I stress this out, if you're looking for a terrible Christmas movie to watch, I cannot recommend Jingle All the Way enough. Every year I watch this, and me and my partner watch it together, and it's a dreadful, dreadful movie, but we absolutely love it because it is bonkers and so stupid and so bad. And it features that Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm doing comedy, but I can't do comedy performance. And it's hilariously bad. I love it. It's dreadful, but I love it.
I think I had it on VHS when I was when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure I had that. It was awful. I always think, obviously, Elf, that's a big Christmas movie everybody goes for, and I'm in love with Zooey Deschanel, so I'm all over that. But Elf's great. Can I throw out my theory of Christmas movies? Obviously, those are on Netflix, Amazon Prime, I guess, right now, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Your Christmas movies are being loaded up each week, and I imagine Elf will be up soon enough. Which is a great film, but I'd love to hear your theory.
Well, my theory about Christmas movies, the greatest Christmas movies of all time are Die Hard and Batman Returns.
Okay, well, neither are Christmas movies.
They're set at Christmas. They're set at Christmas. They count.
That doesn't mean that they're set at Christmas. Ghostbusters 2 is technically set at Christmas.
Oh, it is, isn't it? So that also adds to the list, yeah.
So is Rocky 4, but it doesn't mean that they're Christmas films.
I'd ignore Rocky 4. Yeah, I'd forget that, but I'd definitely watch the other three. Ghostbusters 2, I forgot about that, actually. It's around New Year, isn't it? Of course, everyone gets giddy about New Year with the Statue of Liberty and that. And Jackie Wilson.
And there is a shot of them running down the street wearing Santa hats.
Yes!
So, I mean, it is technically a Christmas movie.
There you go, Chris. That's added to the list right now, along with Batman Returns and definitely Die Hard, which also features Run DMC and Christmas in Hollis, by the way.
Which is an amazing tune. That's actually one of my favorites. And now, quickly enough, Run DMC do the theme tune to Ghostbusters 2, as you look next in there.
Yes, they do.
But unfortunately, I can't agree with you on this one. I don't think they're Christmas movies. Just because a film is set at Christmas does not make them a Christmas movie.
Whatevs. I know I'm right. Anyway, we'll come back to more generic streaming service and chill next week. But one final point, I really like this. I've just seen this piece of news. It's something that you broke earlier on. Jared Leto getting all method on Suicide Squad. People calling him Mr. J. I quite like that.
Yeah, I like it as well. I like it when an actor can really get into a role. Apparently he was keeping himself very separate from the rest of the cast because he wants to keep the allure of the Joker sort of alive and well, you know. And if he's interacting with the cast, then they're not scared of him when they're like on set with him. And it's funny enough, actually, there was an actor, Ted White, who played Jason in Friday the 13th Part 4. He did the same thing, and he was saying in an interview that I didn't eat my craft. So I didn't eat lunch or dinner with the rest of the teams because I didn't want them to then be on set with me and be laughing and choking because I didn't want to be their friend. I'm on set killing them, you know, in theory. So I don't want to be their friend. And something that Jared Leto is doing with the Joker. You know,
I like it.
Calling him Mr. J. We saw Heath Ledger disappear into that role when he did The Dark Knight. And we know what kind of a great performance he got out of it when he really let the Joker take over him. So we'll see if Jared Leto can match up to it. But he's got big shoes to fill, and B, his design is not going over well with the internet audience.
Yeah.
Very divisive.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a divisive performance, this, without a shadow of a doubt. And that look is a bit weird, but I'm kind of on board with it. It looks okay. Luke, thank you very much for joining us. This is Luke Owen on Twitter, by the way. Check out flickerandmyth.com. Have yourself a great weekend, so we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you very much. Speak to you next week.